Thank the Almighty God for what He is doing in our individual lives and what He is doing in His church. Hallelujah. We thank Him for His divine protection. It's about a week today that we met here together as people. We found our different ways, went to so many places. But His grace and His favor found us. This is how far He has brought us. Hallelujah. Again in His presence. Whenever we gather together like this, the Lord has something unique for us. I want to believe that God will minister to you and you will see God in His word this morning. May we open up our spirits unto Him and the Lord will bless us. Amen. Well, we want to thank President Dan the Presbytery for coming out to such a wonderful, wonderful program, dubbed as being in His presence. Hallelujah. And I want to believe that if you are able or you are able to participate actively in the program, you can tell and you can see a change in your life. Because the psalmist says in Psalm 84, verse 10, he said, a single day in your courts is better than 1,000 anywhere else. I would rather be a gatekeeper in the house of my God than live good life in the homes of the wicked. Hallelujah. That is New Living Translation. Say, a single day in the presence of God is much, much better than 1,000 years somewhere. He said, I would rather be a gatekeeper, not even coming to the, just a gatekeeper in the house of my God, because it's better to spend that day as a gatekeeper than to spend many days in the homes of the wicked. Thank God, last week, we did not spend the time with the wicked, but rather we came before His presence. And in his presence, there is fullness of joy. In His presence, there are so many good things. I want to believe that you have received your portion. Hallelujah. And life is not going to be the same. Again, we thank God and we thank God for the life of the president and the executive, for the theme for the last week, Reviver. I will build my church. Amen. I will build my church. I was so excited because somewhere last year, I called the former president and I asked him, when I come to PRWC and the weekly report that we are sending to me, I see the attendance is going down. What's happening? And then he brought me a list of people who have been relocated from this place. So he said, Pastor, this is accounting for the reason why you don't see many people, individuals and families who have been relocated. I then asked, why is it that people are not relocating to our church, but people, rather we are going to other places? And then what happened. And then we have our new acting presiding elder. So he said, Pastor, we want to, when I had that conversation with that presiding elder, I said, we want to have a revival. We need to pray because we don't know what's going on. So we were thinking of this, and then lo and behold, his also case came in. And then we have a new acting presiding elder. So when he came, Pastor, we want to. Kofi, can you increase the volume for me, please? He said, Pastor, I want to have a revival because I was also praying, I was contemplating of a revival for all the assemblies. And he said, okay, then what do you think will be the team? But meanwhile, when I was so much disturbed about what's going on in the church, what I heard in my ears, audibly, that Jesus, the Holy Spirit told me that I will build my church, because the church doesn't belong to you, it belongs to me. So I will build my church. So I take consolation from that statement from the Holy Spirit. So when presider came in, he said, Pastor, I want to revival. Okay, you are the new presiding, so let me give it a chance. And I asked him, okay, come with the program and come with the team. And surprisingly, the team that he came out with what we have, I will build my church. So I want to believe that team and that revival was God sent. It's about time God began to do something new in this church. And we need to move with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. Something is going to happen in this church. There's going to be a mighty revival. Amen. Those who are backslided will come back over. New people will also join His church. Amen. So the Lord is ready. But I want to ask you, are you also ready to be in the move? Even as God is planning to revamp church and ourselves of the things that we already know, something that is for our own good. Amen. So Matthew chapter 16, we want to take it from 13 through 18. So if somebody can take it quickly for me, one of the young guys, please. Young man, please. Young man, who is ready? Yeah. Matthew 16:13-18. You don't have a microphone, so speak like a man. Okay. Okay, please go ahead. Mm-hmm. Thank you. God bless you. So the main theme is taken from Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. But 13 to 17 give us the background of this statement. Hallelujah. That is why I wanted to go back for us to appreciate what Jesus said to Uncle Peter. He said, because Peter was able, through the revelation of the Holy Ghost, of the God the Father in heaven, he was able to tell the identity of Jesus. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I believe that Jesus was so excited. So because we have seen this revelation, I'm also going to exalt you. I will give you the keys. Amen. But this morning, we're not talking about the keys. We are talking about what Jesus said, I will build my church. So from the onset, we know that the church belongs to him. And he is the builder. Hallelujah. So sometimes we don't have to bother ourselves too much, so long as we are doing what we can do as human beings. Let's leave the rest to the owner of the church. He knows best. Amen. As to how he will build his church. Amen. Amen. So when Jesus said, I will build my church, I think he was talking in the future, because I will is a future tense. It means the church has not publicly adored at that time. But Jesus had an idea in his mind as to what he's going to do. So I will build my church. And he knows, or he knew, that at the right time, he will build his church. Hallelujah. Amen. I know some of you have built a house before. You have built something before. And when you decide to build something, whether it's a house, it can be a car, because some people build cars. It can be a road. If you are like a civil engineer, you know how to build roads. You know how to build bridges. And even your own life, because day in and day out, everybody is building his life. Hallelujah. Some people were able to conceive the idea as to what, how, or what they want to be in the future. And therefore, they work consciously towards it. Amen. If you want to be a doctor, you don't go to school and then you study history, archaeology, and philosophy. If you want to be a doctor, right away you want to go into the sciences. I can't remember when we were in high school. Our history teacher said his friend had traveled to America. His friend, they did the same course at the university, history. So he was teaching a history, and he said, oh, my friend went to America as a historian, and now he's doing medicine. So we couldn't believe that. We just loved that. How can a historian, somebody who has studied history at the bachelor's level, will be able to do medicine in America? Because in Ghana, once you are an art student, you will die as an art student. But in America, things are very different. Hallelujah. You can study philosophy, even music, and yet you can become a doctor. But if you know what you want to be in the future, you are building your life. I want to be a doctor. So you know the best thing to do is what? Maybe you can take some courses in the bachelor's, but when you grow up and you are getting closer to your aim or your dream, you want to go into the sciences so they can lead you to become a doctor. So you begin to build your life. In the same way as a Christian, in the next 10 years and 5 years, how do you want to see your life as a Christian? If you're able to conceive the idea, you know how to do it. Hallelujah. And therefore, if you want to build a house, first of all, you must have that conception, that idea. What kind of house do I want to build? If you are not an architect and you want to contract the services of an architect, when you go to him, you should be able to tell him the kind of house that you want to build. In your mind, this is what I see. And then he will put your ideas and your dreams on the paper for you. So I want to build a house. First thing that came into my mind, what kind of house do you want to build? Is it a story building or is it how many bedrooms do I need? How many living rooms do I need? What kind of kitchen do I need in my house? When you have conceived this idea and you have them in your mind, then you go to the architect and you tell him, I want a house. And this is how I want it to be. That house should be a story building. I need 5 bedrooms in that house. I need a kitchen in that house. I need 3 or 4 bathrooms in that house. Then the architect will put what is in your mind on the paper for you. Hallelujah. Likewise, when Jesus said, I will build my church, he had an idea at the right time, the kind of church that he will build. Amen. And he said, I will build my church and the gates of Hades cannot overpower it. It means he was thinking of a very militant church, very powerful, powerful church. Hallelujah. So Jesus had an idea, the kind of church that he wants to build, the kind of idea that you want to build. So once you have the idea, you must also know how you want to build it. Because one thing, having an idea, another thing, building or making sure the idea or the dream comes true. You must know how you want to do it, how much money you want to commit into it, the number of years you want to finish completing your house. So Jesus said, I will build my church. Like when God himself wanted to build the ark to save humankind, when he called Noah, God had an idea, the kind of ark he wanted to build. So if you read Genesis chapter 6, 14 through 16, please let me read very quickly. God called Noah, and this is what he told him. He said, build a large boat from cypress wood and waterproof it with tar inside and out. Then construct decks and stalls throughout its interior. Make the boat 450 long, 75 feet wide, and then 45 feet high. Leave an 18-inch opening below the roof all the way around the boat. Put the door on the side and build 3 decks inside the boat, lower, middle, and upper. So God had an idea, and he wanted to make sure the idea would come into reality. So he called somebody he could trust, somebody he had given the wisdom to build that ark for him, because Noah feared God and worshiped God righteously. Hallelujah. So when God called him, God was able to spell out clearly as to what he wanted to build. Amen. And therefore, he was able to explain that to Noah and also had the idea that God wants the ark to be. And he was able to build it accordingly. Hallelujah. Likewise, when Jesus said, I'll build my church, he knew the church he was going to build. It was in his mind, as the world that we see now was also in the mind of God. Hallelujah. Before creation came into being, God knew the kind of creation that he was going to create. It was his mind. So one day when he decided to create the heaven and earth, he just spoke what is in mind and they came into being. Hallelujah. Likewise, Jesus says, I know one day I will publicly adore my church. I will build my church. He had that idea in his mind, the kind of church that he's going to build. And then Ephesians chapter 5, 25 through 27 clearly explains the kind of the church Jesus said he was going to build. So Ephesians 5, 25 through 27, please I take it. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she will be holy and blameless. Hallelujah. So we can infer from this scripture that we have read, just Jesus knew what he wanted to do. So when he mounted the cross to die, he knew what he wanted to achieve. Hallelujah. He knew he was going to shed his blood and water will come out. And through that, he is going to build a glorious church, not just any mere church, but rather a glorious church That is without any spot, without any wrinkle, but holy and blameless. Hallelujah. So from here we can see the kind of church Jesus wanted to build, or wanted to build at that time, or what was in his mind. A church, not ordinary church. A church that is glorious. A church that is without blame. A church that is without any wrinkle or spot. A church that will be so attractive to the world. Hallelujah. So people will look at the church and say, I want to be part of it, because I can see the glory of God in this church. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. So like, as I said, God had the idea, and he told Noah as to the kind of church, because God was able to explain the kind of ark that he was going to build. He instructed Noah. He said that it should be a large boat. And then he gave the measurement, 45 by 75 by 45. And it should have three decks, lower, middle, and upper, with the door on the side. Again, God knew that the boat was going to be in the rain after a heavy downpour of rain for 150 days. So definitely, he needs something that can survive the heavy downpour. So he said, that ark needs to be waterproof, outside and inside. And God, through his own wisdom, told Noah, make sure there's a tar. I don't know what that tar is, but we can understand from here that it is something that is waterproof. So because Noah obeyed the instructions of God himself, when the ark was built, the ark stayed in the water for 5 months. Yeah, 150 days. The ark was able to survive the water. Hallelujah. Nothing bad happened to it, because God knew what he wanted to do, and he knew how to achieve it. Likewise, Jesus Christ also knew how to build his church, that glorious church, the church that will be glorious and more attractive to the blood. Like God instructed Moses, God said, God said, use cypress wood. So he was telling the materials that would survive the rain. Hallelujah. Cypress wood, water. And with that, the ark was built to be able to survive the rain. Likewise, Jesus himself said, I'm going to build my church. The church is going to be glorious. How am I going to do it? So that he knew, or he had the idea. He went onto the cross. And when he went to the cross and died, two important things happened to Jesus when he was at the cross, especially when the sword was pierced through his side. Bible says blood and water came. Hallelujah. Very, very important, because we know that without the shedding of blood, there will be no remission of sin. Hallelujah. And the word is water, which we are going to explain. So the glorious church must be built from the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. So once the blood has come out, it means that those who run to Jesus for forgiveness of sin, the blood will purge them, the blood will cleanse them. Because the glorious church is not built with any ordinary people. It must be built with people who have believed in Jesus Christ, first of all. Those who have confessed their sins to him. Those who have received forgiveness from him. So that the blood can purge them. So that they become a new creation. Some people that God can call, they are my own people. Hallelujah. Because their sins have been forgiven. A new page has been opened for them. So that God does not consider their sins anymore. God sees them as a new creation altogether. These are the people who are going to form the church. Amen. So it was very important that Jesus had to mount the cross so that the blood could be shed, so that those who go to him will receive forgiveness of sin. Hallelujah. So right from the beginning, we see that the glorious church is being built by people who have received forgiveness from Christ himself. Hallelujah. And therefore, if you belong to the church, then we have to know that, or if you want to be part of the church, you must go through a process. If you have not gone through that process, you cannot call yourself part of the church. So are you born again? Have you received Jesus Christ? Have you given your life to Jesus Christ? These are the people Jesus considered as part of his church. And therefore, if you are here, it is very easy for you to come to church, and yet you have not given your life to Jesus Christ. You are not part of the church. Physically, we see you as such. But Christ doesn't consider you as part of his people simply because you have not given your life to him. The old self is still with you. The new self has not come. So you are here physically. We worship, do everything with you. But in the sight of God, you don't belong to his church. Because he is building a glorious church, and therefore he needs people who have gone through that process by confessing their sins, receiving forgiveness for him, and his blood has cleansed them. Hallelujah. These are the new creation, new people altogether. People who God doesn't consider their sins anymore, but he sees them as new people. Hallelujah. So this is how we become a part of the glorious, glorious church. And therefore, if when you are a member of the church, you see the urgency of making sure that you don't indulge in any sin. You want to shun sin, you want to run away from sin, because the moment you sin and you are part of the church, you are contaminating the church. The glory is gradually dwindling. But you want the glory of the church or the Jesus Christ to be there all the time. Hallelujah. Because as Galatians 5:9 says, it says, a little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough. Galatians 5:9. So if you are not able to confront sin, when it comes into the midst of God's people, that we are making sure that sin will take its root in the church. And gradually, the glory of the church will not be seen. Amen. And therefore, as people who are part of the church, the only thing that we have to be afraid of and shun is sin. Amen. If you are able to live holy and blameless life, and then the glory of the church will be seen all the time. Amen. So as I said, we need to confront sin. When we see sin in the church, we don't have to entertain it. We have to confront it irrespective of who the person might be. When we do that, we are preserving the glory of the church. And at the same time, we are helping the brother or the sister who have gone off track. Because though he has committed sin, yet Christ still loves the sinner. Amen. And therefore, we will correct you, but we will do so in love. And you have to be in a position to accept the discipline of the Lord. Because it's for your own good. Amen. Sin is evil, and it can kill. And therefore, run away from it. Hallelujah. So the blood was shed on the cross so that it can purge those who run to Jesus Christ, so that they are the people who are going to be part of the glorious, glorious church. Amen. At the same time, as I said, water came out. So water, as it can infer from the scripture that we read, water stands for the word of God. Hallelujah. Because after you have been cleansed, you need to remain in that purity. And it takes only the word of God. Because 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 to 17 says, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that a man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Hallelujah. It takes only the word of God to do this. So even as we are reading, we read the word of God every day, and we are putting what we are reading into practice. When you read, God is his word, and it's backed by the power of the Holy Spirit. So the word of God will speak to you. Sometimes you read the Bible, and a particular verse will just lift up from the Bible and hit you pine, talking to you. Sometimes it will reprove you. Sometimes it will encourage you. Sometimes it will correct you. When you are doing, the Bible said that we are being trained to live in righteousness. Hallelujah. So what I came out symbolizes the word of God. So Jesus said how he's going to build his church. First, I will get a set of people. I will cleanse them with my blood. And after that, I will give my word to them. And as they read the word day in and day out, the word will reprove them. The word will correct them. The word will train them. So that people can live in righteousness, so that the glory of my church will be maintained. Hallelujah. So we need the word of God. When we have been cleansed by the blood, we also need the word of God to be part of the glorious church. Amen. Then another thing that we need, as I said from the beginning, Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades cannot overpower it. It means that militant church. For the church to remain in militancy, Acts chapter 4, chapter 1, 4 through 8. There is something that they would want to read. Acts 1, 4 through 8. I think as Pentecostals, we know these scriptures very well, but we want to take it. Acts 1, 4 through 8. Once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift that he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? He replied, the Father alone has the authority to set those days and times, and they are not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Hallelujah. Jesus knew the church that he was going to build. It's not going to be an ordinary church, weak church, but a very powerful, a very militant church. And it takes the Holy Spirit to empower people. Hallelujah. That is why Jesus said, yes, I know the church. The church is going to be started with you. But I want you to have the power of the Holy Spirit. Because when you see the Holy Spirit, you become the kind of militant church that I'm looking for. People who have been empowered. People who can stand and resist the onslaught of the gates of Hades, demons, Satan and his demons himself. Because it is only Satan and his demons that can take away the glory of the church. Because when Satan is ruling and he's reigning the church, it means sin can be found everywhere. The moment sin enters the church and we entertain it and sin is reigning, it means the glory will not be there. Hallelujah. So for the glory to be there, then the people of God must be filled with the Holy Spirit. That is why Jesus said, after he has breathed on the people, he said, receive the Holy Spirit. And yet he commanded them, go and wait until you have received power from on high. Because that is going to empower you to be that militancy that I'm looking for. Hallelujah. So we don't have to discount the Holy Spirit if you want to be part of the glorious church. Because Jesus himself see the importance of the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And therefore, every day you have to look it through yourself and say, I'm full with the Holy Spirit. God, like you do every day when you sit in your car, the first you check the gauge of the gas. Is it full or is it half full? Is it empty? Because you are not very careful, you don't check and you hit on the highway. One day you have to call AAA for help because you have run out of gas. There are a lot of Christians who walk about every day and they have run out of gas. They are doing it with their own strength and their own experience. Sometimes we've been in the church for so many years, we know how things are done in the church. And therefore, you can do it perfectly without even the assistance of the Holy Spirit. But we need his guidance. Hallelujah. We need support. You are going to preach. Seek his face. Let me give you the word. And once he has given the word, pray for that he will give you the utterance as well. Anything that you are going to do in the church is part of the service. And it's very, very important. If you are going to lead the open prayer, I've been in the church, I know how it's done. You can even in your mind pick some song that you are going to sing. But if you are able to seek his face, he will give you the right song to sing at the right time. So that your songs will be in sync even with the message. Hallelujah. So Jesus wants us to maintain the purity. He wants us to maintain the glory of the church. Because right from the beginning, he had an idea, the church he was going to build. And therefore, if by his grace, you and I have become part of the church, then we have a role to play. Hallelujah. As I said, we want to have a new PIWC. Very soon, I'll be seeing off. But my ears will be here. I want to know what's going on. Hallelujah. The only news that I want to hear, that Pastor, find one day and come and visit PRWC.
Hallelujah.
And you'll be shocked how revival has taken place, how people are trooping, running to the church, how people are so excited to come to the church because they have seen the kind of church Jesus said that he's building. Hallelujah. I want to say that everybody is unique and God has called us individually. When God was calling me, you were not there. Not as a pastor, as a Christian. Hallelujah. Because I became Christian first before I became a pastor. I didn't plan. It wasn't in my plans to be a pastor. My idea was to be to become a Christian and then a good Christian and serve the Lord. Hallelujah. So down the road, this call found me. But I still consider myself first as a Christian because I want to go to heaven. If you're not very careful, you become a pastor, a presiding another elder, and yet you'll miss heaven. So everything that I do, I still stay focused. I'll perform my pastoral duties, but at the same time, my ultimate goal is to go to heaven. Hallelujah. So God called me individual. Likewise, he also called you. And everybody is unique. And there are certain things that you can do as a unique person. What the presider can do, I cannot do. Because he's different from me. So the Father God has brought all of us together with individual giftings and individual potentials. It means that he is going to use our unique potentials and our capabilities to build a church. So going forward, we want everybody to know that you are no more a spectator. Now, whether you have the chance to come and stand here or not, you have a unique role to play. If you don't play and play it very well, it's going to affect the building of the glorious church. And so going forward, we want everybody to yield all his members to Christ. Hallelujah. Because we want to see a different church. After all, this is our church. Pastors will come and pastors will go. But you remain here. So if the church is good, the church is active, there's life in the church, you are going to be the beneficiary. Hallelujah. I've enjoyed PRBC for just 3 years. But I came to meet most of you here. And again, I am leaving. Another pastor will come. He also go. Because if you don't know, look at the history. So many pastors. So pastors come and pastors go. But the elders, the leadership, and the members of the church, they remain. So I don't know the kind of church that you want. The church, sometimes you go to other places and you are so excited. You don't know how the people are so committed to the church. And each and every one of them is playing his individual unique role. Hallelujah. So everybody is equally important in this church. Whether you are young, whether you are adult, whether you are old, whether even you are a newborn baby, you are born into the church. So come to church every Sunday. Hallelujah. So young guys, I'm challenging you. Don't come and sit there. To find something that you can do. Hallelujah. What can you do to make sure the church is growing? What can you do to make sure that we are having a glorious church? You have a role to play. Likewise, I also have a role to play. Hallelujah. And I'm praying that God will help us. That after this revival, we will come back to ourselves and begin to ponder as to what you as an individual have derived after being in his presence for 1 week. We don't want to take it for granted. Because I said, nobody goes to the presence of God and goes back to home the same. Definitely, there must be a touch. And I want to believe that God has touched you if you actively participated what went on last week. And the life of the church has been touched. Hallelujah. We are going to have a very revival in the church. So we want to start from today. Those of you who are hearing my voice, even from homes, please, today, everybody wants to make a decision. We don't want to be complaining, but we want to be people who are ready to perform their individual roles to make sure that the church is growing. Hallelujah. To make sure that the church is glorious. Make sure that the church is active. We don't have to leave everything to the presiding elder and the presbytery. No, they can come with the idea, but if you don't support them, you will not see the kind of church that we want to build. Hallelujah. Oh, I said hallelujah. Amen. So people must begin to renew their minds going forward. I want to be part of what God is doing. Because after all, this church belongs to us. Amen. So Jesus has revealed his intention to us, the kind of church that he wants to build. It's a church that's glorious, a church without blame, without any blame, the church without any wrinkle. And therefore, it behoves on us to make sure that we watch our lives very, very well. Because what you do, what I do, can positively or negatively affect the glory of the church. Amen. So wherever you find yourself, whether you are here or now, in your workplace, wherever, you need to consider yourself that I am part of the glorious church that Jesus is building. And therefore, I'll watch my life. Hallelujah. Yeah. Because if I'm able to do things right, then I am giving myself, I'm veiling myself to be used as a unique individual for Christ to build his church. Amen. Amen. So going forward, as I said, you want to see a new PRWC. The owner of the church said, I will build, and thank God the church has been born. And the church, he is still building the church. He needs you, because we have come to the understanding that when we're talking about a church, it is not this man-made building. The church is you and the church is me. So if Jesus says he's going to build his church, he's talking about you. Allow yourself to be built. I'm also going to allow myself to be built. So together, Christ will have the church that he is looking for. The church that, together with us, we can boast that, yeah, this is the church of Jesus Christ. And I am part of it. Why? Because I become the light of the world. I be light to the world. I become the salt to the world. People will see the glory of the church in me. And then because of my attractive life, people will come to church. So that is my piece of advice. And this is what the Lord asked me to tell everybody this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. That Jesus is building his church. Forget about it, what is going on. Sometimes that is how church is like. It's a human life. The journey, sometimes you walk on the plateau, sometimes you descend to the valley, sometimes you climb the hill, sometimes things will be very smooth. Every church goes through so many challenges. And I know the challenges that we are going through as PIWC. But definitely because the owner and the builder of the church is around, we shall rise. Hallelujah. The church will arise one day. And it is even arising. Hallelujah. But as I said, you and I have a unique role to play. So from today, I want everybody to go to the presiding elder. I'm giving 1 week. Go and seek the face of God. And come and tell presiding, after we have observed a week of presence, I have sought the face of the Lord. And this is what the Lord is directing me to do in this church. Hallelujah. Going forward, I'll be the first person to come. And if any work to be done, let me know. Hallelujah. Going forward, I will make sure that I will pay my tithes faithfully, because we want to have money to build the church. Going forward, I promise you and I promise God that I'm going to lead a holy, blameless, and righteous life. I want to be the salt and the light wherever I find myself to the people around me. Going forward, I want to learn how to play one of these. So in case this guy doesn't come, there is always a backup. Hallelujah. Going forward, I'm going to seek the face of God. And one Sunday, give me the chance also to preach to the church. Hallelujah. God has blessed me with a unique, beautiful voice. And going forward, I'm going to be one of the singers. Hallelujah. Think of what you can do. And the church will be the glorious church that we are looking for. May the Lord bless you and then help you. Even as we have come back to our senses and want to do things right, may he empower us with the power of the Holy Spirit. So the PRWC that we see now will be a different PRWC, which we can all see and boast with Christ. May the Lord bless you now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. Shall we please be in our feet? We want to pray something.